Pentecost mood here. Now, when I was a bit younger, after I had graduated from college, I lived with a friend of mine, my best friend from college. We got an apartment together. I actually slept on his couch for a little while before we got the two-bedroom apartment. And him and I, we were great friends. We used to debate a lot. You know, we'd get into these discussions. We had these two chairs that were kind of situated from each other right across the room. And we would each sit on one, and we would discuss things, and inevitably we'd get into some argument or debate. And it's one of the things that we really missed about being able to be roommates. I mean, I guess I do get into arguments with my wife on occasion, but somehow it's different. Now, one of the things that we remember the most, one of our favorites that we remember the most, is when we were sitting, and I don't know, somehow the topic of Angora wool came up. And we were discussing, and I said to him, well, yeah, you know, Angora comes from goats. And he said, no, it doesn't. And I said, well, yeah, Jesse, it does. And he said, no, Angora comes from rabbits. He's like, I have a rabbit farm nearby my house in Vermont. I know where it comes from. And I said, well, Jesse, no, it comes from goats, because I stayed on an Angora goat farm up in Scotland when I was visiting there. And so we were debating back and forth and back and forth, each one of us convinced that we were right and the other was wrong, because we had seen the truth with our very own eyes, and we knew it to be so. And so we bickered and bickered, and finally we said, well, we'll go look it up on the internet. And I'll never forget, you know, we pulled up this site, and it says, Angora, from both goats and rabbits. That's an example of how one can be so convinced that they are right, and yet there's a truth that's greater than that. There's a truth that's beyond your own self-conviction. Our scripture lessons today are very fascinating. They actually have to do with a lot of different information, which I'll try to explain to you. We actually have a lot of festivals going on here. The festival that's going on during the Pentecost reading in Acts is called Shavuot. And that is a harvest festival. Now, I don't know that much about farming, as I've said before, but it's supposedly in the Mediterranean, there's a wheat or a grain harvest that happens in late spring. And that corresponds to Shavuot, which is a celebrating of that harvest. It's also a celebrating of the receiving of the Torah by Moses on Mount Sinai. And that happens 50 days after the beginning of Exodus. And it was this celebration, this festival, that was being going on during our time in Acts when Pentecost happened. And we have the flames that come down, all the speaking in different language. We, of course, call it Pentecost because of 50 days. It was 50 days after the beginning of Exodus. We also have a 50-day tradition. It's 50 days after Easter. So you'll always find it around the same time in corresponding to Easter. Now, lots of things happened. We had these tongues of fire. We had people speaking all these different languages. We had a outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It was so crazy that everybody thought it was just perhaps a big drunken party. But there were those that were convinced otherwise. There were those that saw that something special and unique was going on. There were those that received the fruits of the Spirit that day. And it is a miraculous event, something to be celebrated. But what does it tell us about the Holy Spirit? How does the Holy Spirit work on our lives? Is it something that we just look to receive so that we personally can get the gifts of the Spirit? Is it about us? Is it about how God can empower us? Paul warns us against such people in his writings when he talks about the so-called super apostles, as he says. He uses that in a sarcastic comment. He also says some other things about them that I can't mention in church because they're actually dirty words in Greek. But he talks about these folks. There's so much about themselves, so much about the powers they have received from God and how they can go about and proclaim all these miraculous events, and how we should be careful about those folks. We should watch out, because they are not preaching a true gospel. Now, our passage from John also involves a festival. As the reading said, there was the final day of the festival, and that festival is actually Sukkot, which is the festival of booths, which is also a harvest festival, but it's a harvest festival that happens in the fall. And my understanding, again, not knowing much about farming, is that's when the fruits are harvested in the Mediterranean. And so during this festival, there is a passage, the chapter, 14th chapter of Zechariah that's read. And in that, there is discussion about the living waters. A lot of other stuff. It's kind of a weird chapter. It talks about the celebration of booths, and that's why they read it during that festival. But in there, there's discussion about the living waters. The living waters that will come from God. And so here Jesus is at this festival during the time in which they would read this passage. And Jesus says that he has the living waters himself, that anybody that is thirsty can come drink of him. And then he also says that anyone who's a believer will also have the living waters come forth from them. Now there's an interesting discrepancy here, because if you look at the Greek, it's actually unclear on where the living waters are coming from. And some think that it's always talking about Jesus. The living waters are always coming from him. Others say that the first time he talks about it, it's about the living waters coming from him. And the second time he mentions it, it's about the living waters coming from the believer. Now, I like to think that discrepancy is on purpose, that there's a bit of a confusion there between Jesus and the believer, that the living waters is something that's shared between the two of them. And I think it's there that we see some of what the Holy Spirit is about. I think it's about the connection that we end up having between each other. We say that the Spirit is present whenever two or three of us are gathered, or as my favorite joke, which I've told many times, but when I was visiting with an Episcopal nun in the hospital, I said to her, Sister so-and-so, it's very nice to meet you. And she said, oh, well, you know what they say about us Episcopals, right? And I said, no, what is that? She said, well, wherever two or three of us are gathered, there's always a fifth. Ba-dum-bum, that's right. I needed my drum set for that. Anyway, the message is that wherever two or three of us are gathered, the Holy Spirit is present. That we exist not as individuals, not as super apostles that receive the gift of the Spirit ourselves, but that the Spirit is something that appears between us. It is an exchange of that living water from one to another. It is only when we are together as a church assembled that we truly understand the Spirit, that we truly understand God's will. It's why in this church, we have congregational meetings to decide things. It's why one person doesn't decide things. Because how could we truly have the Holy Spirit? How could we truly discern God's will as individuals? It takes a coming together. The Spirit of truth exists beyond us. It exists beyond the individual. It exists as a coming together of Christians and fellowship. And we see this with our passage from Acts. All the people there are talking in different languages, and yet everybody can understand each other. It's quite a beautiful image for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit breaks down all these things that separates us, breaks down language, breaks down understanding, breaks down all that that keeps us apart, that falsehood that we are separate and not joined together. And if we look at the fruits of the Spirit from Galatians, there are all these things that would bring us together. Love and joy and peace and understanding. Not self-righteousness. Not an idea that I am right and I know better than everybody else. So you see, as we celebrate the church's birthday, we should remember that it is about coming together. It is about hearing other people, hearing what they have to say to you, even if you don't always agree with it, trying to understand where they are coming from, trying to look for that truth which is beyond both of you, that is a truth of God, a truth of the Holy Spirit. Now, for my friend Jesse and I, that truth was that Angora comes from both rabbits and goats. And although that's a comical story, there are many times in which the truth, the real answer, the thing that would be best for us, is somewhere in between everybody's view. It's a tradition in the Quaker Church that when decisions are made, they are made through consensus of everybody. And part of that has to do with these ideas of the Holy Spirit. Now, that might take a while, and sometimes it often does, and that doesn't mean there's not contentious conversations in Quaker meetings, but it does mean that at the end, they all try to discern what the will of God is and try to agree on it together. It's a hard thing. It's a hard thing to be a member of Christ's church. It's a hard thing to try to listen for what the Holy Spirit tries to tell you. It's a difficult thing to hear others sometimes, a difficult thing not to be wrapped up in your own feelings of being correct and right and justified. But it can also be an amazing thing. It can also move us beyond each other. It can move us to a place that is so miraculous, so amazing, like tongues of fire touching upon us, and everybody speaking different languages, and everybody hearing. I invite you to listen for that Holy Spirit. Listen together. Listen, all of us. And I guarantee you that if we hear God's call, that we will be also taken to miraculous places. We will also find things in our lives that we thought weren't possible. We'll find understandings that we thought we could never have. And we will be brought closer to God's kingdom. Join me in celebrating Pentecost. Join me in listening for the Holy Spirit. And do that in whatever way you want. Thanks and amen. Before we have a parting song, closing hymn here, I forgot to make one announcement. Speaking about hearing others and the Holy Spirit in love and joy and peace, the presentation about the parsonage will be afterwards. So let's keep that in mind as we go down there and hear about what the parsonage committee has found. And remember that this is not a St. Stephen's moment, so please all rocks be checked at the door. Thank you very much. And please now join me in our closing hymn, Sweet, Sweet Spirit, number 252 in the Blue Hymnal. Let us all now join hands for our parting song, Lord of Life, which is printed in your bulletin.
Lord of Life.
As you leave here today, I invite you to feel the Spirit. It has descended upon us. Does that mean you speak in tongues? You go blah, 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 blah. That's fine. If it means that you get happy and dance around, that's fine too. Or if it means that you share in the fruit of the Spirit with love and joy and peace towards one another, that's just fine as well. Share the Spirit and share in Christ's glory. And the church said, amen.
I don't think I've ever seen your happy dance.
Do-do-do-do-do-do.